Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the cuz.
Yo, cuz, how you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, cuz?
Well, a happy, happy, happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley. We are now one day away from what a great game, man. What a great night it's going to be tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. That's it. This is going to be an amazing spectacle.
Get excited.
The spectacle of the whole thing will be wild. Absolutely wild. Bob is right, too, because, like, listen, you know, you can't forget that it's KD and Kyrie actually coming into play, right? So the fact that they're going to be that good and then all the Simmons circus surrounding it all.
Oh, man, it's right there
something that we've never seen before. All of the other returns, right? All the other returns have been paled to this one. You know, I heard Bob and Jason brought up the Lindros game when he came back. When the Rangers, I was there. We did the double dip. It was Eagles Tampa, 2001 or two. I forget what it was, but they played Tampa, and it was New Year's Eve day. Rangers. It was a Saturday. Rangers, and then Birds, and I go for a period. I went early. Walked across the street to the vet. The vet, it was still at the vet. So that had to be 2002 or 2001. And we walk across the street. We went from Flyers. And it was a crowd of, like, it was a big deal. 88's return with the Rangers. They hated Rangers. But, you know, people were, it was more docile because it was like, it was split. The fan base wasn't anti-88. Think about the returns. Think about anybody who's come back. Scott Rowland, You know, Wentz hasn't returned yet. But even that can't be like this. Basketball is way more intimate, right? A stadium, the Lincoln, right? Lincoln Financial Field, vast. The guys are in helmets. You know, the arena is close. And it's intimate, and you see them. And there he will be, hood on, but he'll be, nonetheless, he'll be conspicuous, even with the hood up. We've never seen anything like it. Now, I will say, again, the story came out yesterday, and I'm just completely, Kyle Newbeck had it, and I completely am flabbergasted by it. This concept that one of the reasons why Simmons will be on display to use in trying to recoup his money. Because it was like, look, if he came back and played, he'd have to deal with this. I mean, like, that's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. Unreal. How could you possibly trot that out as a defense? How many times did we talk about, well, if he came back, what would we react? Yeah, he would get booed, but, you know, you try to implore him, like, to root him on. There was a lot of that sentiment out there. But again, it's using the fan base, you know, distorting, perverting the reputation as though it's 3 AD, right? As though this is ancient Rome. Come on. That's just outrageous. And so we sit here and we go back and forth. Oh, how are we going to react? How are we going to act? What are we going to say? What are we going to chant? Oh, thanks, Ben Simmons. Oh, thanks for Harden. Thanks for Harden. Thanks for Harden. It's all good. But, you know, the fact that we actually have to think about it so that we can counteract this nonsense. And then you started going, well, did they put that out there so that people would be more docile? You know, I mean, this is all nonsense. The guy was in the wrong. Hey, no matter what, the guy was in the wrong. I don't want to hear about anything. All right? He was in the wrong. He was. He quit. He didn't want to play. It's unreal to me that there could be, you could support this behavior. Listen, if I'm going to be totally honest with you, I don't even hate the dude. I really don't. I'm actually, personally, and this is me personally, I'm just happy where the Sixers are. I think Harden's a great fit. They got a lot of great space. And I'm looking forward to a big run. And he's actually, like, the least of my concerns, right? Now, tomorrow night, it's like sport. It's a big night. It's fun. So for a night, fun. It's good. What's he going to do? Oh, what are the fans going to do? It's a spectacle. But as far as real meaning, I don't even care. He's gone. And quite frankly, I look at him, I don't feel sorry because he's wealthy beyond belief, and he's undeservedly wealthy, and he's spoiled, and he's kind of a despicable character. So I can't give him pity. But there's a part of me that goes, he's inside all of this stuff. He's like a scared little boy. And it's like, wow, man, it's a shame. Because I did love the kid, so I can't just turn it off and go, well, I loved him. I loved what he could be. He was never really a warm figure, right? He was never embracing as a figure. Same thing with Wentz.
It is what it is.
Right? Like, you know, both the two of them were never truly inviting to the people here. Now, we could be over the top. I get it. We could be a little much. I'll admit it. And that's just because we crave to love you. And so we could be a little overbearing. But those guys, both those guys were never really inviting. They never were like, hey, man, Alka. Like, again, I'm not saying you got to be Joel and you got to go play ball at a playground with kids or be out and about, be a part of the community. I'm not even saying that. My point is, you know, when I look at the whole thing, they just never really gave of themselves. Now, Simmons, I do think his problems lie in, I just question if he really loves the game. Right? And I don't even understand a lot of his kind of mentality. But is that, you know, a mental illness or neuroses? Or is it just you're spoiled? Like, there's a difference between being spoiled and being princely and having real issues. And again, I do think we have a tough time discerning nowadays between mental illness and mental toughness. Like, I go back to the Westbrook story from yesterday. People are calling you Westbrook. Okay. Isn't that a trade-off, getting $100 million, that they call you Westbrook? Like, who cares? Are you serious? Like, who cares? What in the world? Why is that a thing? And you have to do a whole thing about how you're name shaming. Name shaming? Are you kidding me? But that's what these athletes now are so ridiculously spoiled, so coddled, that their reality is distorted. And I'm not playing into their distorted reality. And that includes Simmons' return to Philadelphia. This is nonsense. And anybody that is casted, that will castigate the Philadelphia sports fans and castigate Sixer fans, just don't know what they're talking about. And it's done in a disingenuous way. That's the bottom line, and that's the truth. Good morning, Junis.
I can't wait for people to boo his ass off tomorrow.
Yeah?
I can't wait. You know, it's ridiculous. Yesterday, when that story comes out from Kyle toward the end of our show, like, it just pisses me off even more. because, you know, you talked about it. It just seems like he's hiding behind the big cloth that is mental illness, right? And there are people that I know, you know, near and dear to my heart that suffer from mental illness, whether it's anxiety or depression, you name it, very, very close to me. And to see this story, and you're going to use the fan base as exhibit A as to why. And meanwhile, in his introductory press conference for the Brooklyn Nets, where they didn't really press him all that hard, but they kept on asking
him. Welcome to Brooklyn, Dad.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And it was sickening. But he did say,
we have really good IPAs here.
He did say at one point it had nothing to do with the fans. That was, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, you said it had nothing to do with the fan base. And now, 3 weeks later, you're about to come back to Philadelphia to not even play, just to sit your ass on the bench, and you're going to talk about how the fan base is part of the reason why you are never going to be able to play here again, and you're going to use the reaction you get to just sitting there as exhibit A.
I mean,
and the story has changed.
Yeah.
You know, Seven Ways of Sunday. It's changed over and over and over again. It's sickening because, again, over and over again, they use this mental health thing, which they only started playing that card the second he started getting fined.
Yeah,
and that's wrong.
It's the money,
because it's an actual
back to
issue.
Money. Yeah, and listen, all they care about is recouping the money.
Yeah,
so you know you're going to work the system.
I saw a lot of people say, "Well, if you're Rich Paul, wouldn't you do it?" Yeah, probably. Rich Paul's going to try to make the money back for his client, right? He's going to do Best Buy's client, but it's dirty. It's dirty. Like,
sure, it's dirty. You know, listen, he's not the first one that's going to work the system.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let's face it. People recoup a lot of money or generate a lot of revenue being unscrupulous. Like, it's not illegal, but it's unscrupulous, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a good point. I mean, it's happened all time. All times happen. It's just it bothers me, man, because it's not something that you just use as.
Well,
it bothers you because
the fan base is going to get painted a certain way.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
It's ridiculous, and you know, you know what it's going to be Friday morning on all these networks, and I implore every Sixer fan to not watch. You should watch those things to begin with, because all they do is yell and scream at each other. You're not educated when you're watching Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless or Jason McIntyre. You don't learn anything from it. Quite frankly, I'm not entertained by 90% of it, so I don't understand why you even watch it. But I would suggest not to pay attention to it Friday, because you know how it's going to be.
You know what the
reaction's going to be. The Mina Kimes, who is all of a sudden an angel, even though she made fun of Ben Simmons, but is now like, oh, don't make fun of Ben. Poor Ben. Poor what? What do you mean, poor Ben?
Yeah.
God.
Poor Ben.
It just bothers me, man.
Poor Ben. It's amazing to me. It really is. It's amazing. Just FYI, there will be no tribute, just so you know.
Okay.
There will be no Ben Simmons tribute tomorrow. So, you know, I wanted clarification. And so when I asked the question, do you know what I got in response?
No.
Ha 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 ha.
Yes. Good.
So there will be no Ben Simmons tribute. Just an FYI tomorrow night. All right. The other thing we got to talk about, the bombshell, the utter bombshell that was dropped. Seattle yesterday, trading Russell Wilson. Now,
is it wrong of me to be bummed out?
Yeah, except here's what I hear. This is what I hear. Russ was not about the Eagles. He was all about West. And Seattle wanted AFC.
Yeah, I'm not...
So that is what happened.
My reaction was not, way to go, Howie, you screwed this. Like, that was not my reaction. My reaction was, damn, he actually did want to get traded, and it was basically, okay, he wanted to go Western Conference. He wanted to go to the AFC. We wanted to go out West.
He didn't want to go to the Eagles.
Yeah, and, you know, I know there was Washington he didn't want to go to either. Washington, you know, the Commanders or whatever they're called. It sucks because it's like, damn, I wish that guy came here. The trade, I know there's people trying to say that the Broncos got fleeced. I don't. You know, they traded future. They have a decent roster right now. Now they bring
in. I don't understand the fleecing.
Well, because
really.
They also gave up starting players.
Well, who did they really give up? Let's look at it. Drew Lock stinks.
Yeah, he stinks.
All right. No offense, okay? He's a middle-of-the-road tight end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, to me, Denver
like, what you
came out with a steal. Seattle got their draft compensation. Good for them.
Yeah, I don't see how you got fleeced at all.
No, I saw people say, oh, my God, thank God the Eagles didn't make this trade.
Who would say that?
A ton of people, dude. A lot of people were thrilled that the Eagles didn't make that trade. This would have set the Eagles back and blah, blah, blah. Thank God Jalen Hurts is still here, blah, blah, blah.
Thank God Jalen Hurts is still here. Why?
Is it for Russell Wilson? I don't understand the notion of Russell Wilson's cooked. He's not. He was hurt last year.
No, he's not cooked. But why?
He's not cooked.
I'm curious. Thank God Jalen's here for what?
People are seeing this is now he can focus on next season. There's been all this talk. Now he can start focusing.
People are still trying to make believe that he could play. He could be a winning quarterback in this league.
And he's
actually winning something
he's
with his arm.
Start throwing it downfield. You know, hit guys in stride.
Well, listen. I mean, listen again. I'll say it 100 times. Nice kid, and love to be wrong, but every time. You'd love to be wrong. He proves you're right.
All right, exactly.
He just can't go down if he can't drive the ball down the field. That's it. With his arm. That's it.
Right.
Unfortunately. It's sad, but it's kind of what he was in college and kind of what he was thought to be.
Right.
So this is not really a surprise.
And now it's a weird spot because.
But I don't think, and I do, I'm going to tell you right off the bat again, for anybody who believes that, I don't believe the Eagles think he's the future quarterback either. No. And,
which is why their name is in the mix for all these guys.
Well, including,
it goes back to Zach Wilson last year.
Including Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Now, Deshaun Watson, it's a very complicated situation. You know, as you well know, the obvious.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, the Eagles will not make a play for Deshaun Watson unless he's cleared.
Right.
They will not go any other route unless he's clear.
Yeah, which is why I was about to say it puts me
and
in a
I
tough
do
spot.
Know that you know Jeffrey's squeamish about the whole thing. As well he should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So
like, I personally don't want him here, Deshaun Watson. Listen, things can get cleared and I would love to see the entire process is what you know we all know under the table stuff and that
Listen, I'm only gonna tell you this. That if he was cleared, they'd be interested.
Right.
All right? They'd definitely be interested.
Well, of course, as they should be.
But nothing's going to happen until he's cleared first. At least when it comes to the Eagles. Now, there may be other teams.
Yeah, multiple.
That will look to trade for him before any of that stuff. Now, Friday, you'll get a little clearer kind of, I think you'll get a clearer view of the situation. I don't think you're going to be all the way in the clear, to use right. that word different ways, but you'll get a better look at the picture. A certainly more clearer look at the picture. We'll talk to Jeff McClain about the Birds because free agency starting, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, football. I mean, the movement in the NFL over the last couple of years is.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and I expect it to keep on happening this year, too, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So we're going to get, we'll look at some Eagles. And some free agency.
And we have another fake deadline today, Ant.
Oh, baseball deadline.
Yeah, remember the deadline that was last week and then turned to the day after, and then it turned to yesterday, and now it's today. So we have the fourth deadline, Ant, for regular season games to start on time.
I mean, I'm done. I got suckered in, and I did.
Yep.
When you told me, and really, it was everybody. That all the reporters and, you know, all those guys.
There's
I know
optimism
those guys.
Coming from both sides.
I know
that
those
a deal is going to happen.
Those guys that cover the sport. And I worked with those guys years ago. And they're very good. And I kind of was like, why? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe this thing will get settled before the season. Before the deadline. And it didn't. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. Until it's figured out, I don't want to talk about baseball. Until there is an agreement, there's no need to talk about baseball.
Good point.
There's lots to get to today, meaning we have no shortage of conversation pieces. And, of course, leading it all is tomorrow night. And just from a spectacle standpoint, man, this is going to be a monster. I cannot wait for tomorrow night. And let's discuss this whole thing about, you know, the need for decorum. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, civility, right? Because we're not against that. We don't want anything thrown, all that stuff. But really, what about the idea of booing? Is that now passé? And we reached a point where the boo is out of line.
It's offensive, ain't it?
That's what it feels like. It feels like the boo is a sound that is akin to the F word. Is that true? Is that where we're at? Just curious, because you guys make the rules. I don't. Except when it comes to the land. I like to throw those rules in the Baxter for sure. I'd rather keep it 100, right? And throw all the rules in the Baxter. You ready for the spring cleanup? Getting ready to move or organizing your garage or the attic? Listen, that sounds like you. I got the perfect cleanup for all these projects and more. The Baxter Bag. The Baxter, by far the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. What a product. A 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag. It holds 3,300 pounds of waste. It's sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores for just $29.99. That's right. What's the place in Mulga Hill, Judas? They got the bags. I saw it. Warren's.
Warren's, yeah.
Yeah, they got it. I saw it, too. All the home before the hardware stores got it. That's only $29.99. The bags are easy to use, whatever your cleanup plans are, to get garage, the attic, your remodeling, whatever it is in the spring, man. Telling you, the bags, the bag, can take it on. Buy it, fill it, schedule your collection. Poof! It's gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebags.com. To find a store nearest you. For more details, Anthony Gargano tells you to clean it up this spring with the Baxter. Dumpster in a bag.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The idea of the boo, and if it's a frowned upon piece in 2022, coming at sporting events. But we'll talk about it next with our man, ESPN ABC. Oh, I love this guy. He is the greatest. He flies the flag of the land. He's the great Kevin DeGondi on the Comcast Business Hotline. Kev!
And how we doing, man?
You're the best, buddy. Thanks for the tweets, too, man.
Shout out to you on earlier today. I saw a clip about mental strength and mental illness.
Yes.
And you nailed it. You nailed it. You nailed everything you talked about. And I just want to give you credit for that.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. But that's what came from my cousin Joey, in the conversation. Now, and you know what it is? Like, sometimes we blur that line. And really, Dave, my cousin and I were talking about it. And he's right. He said that. We blur the line sometimes, and there is a difference because there are people that are suffering badly from it, and you don't want to use this situation to desensitize that.
100%. And this is a new space for a lot of people. This is a new space of understanding and talking about, you know, dealing with any type of mental issues in the sense of handling it and understanding anxiety and talking about it publicly. It's all new space.
Yeah.
So it's understanding and distinguishing, but at the same time, like, here's in any situation when there's a bodily injury, we can diagnose and understand the body can come back. We don't understand the brain when it comes to this type of space. So that interpretation can be complicated.
So let me ask you, and a couple things. One, the story yesterday that the Simmons camp will use the response, that one of the reasons why he'll be on the bench tomorrow night is to use the response of the crowd in his argument as Exhibit A as to why he was mentally unfit to play in the return to play in front of the Philadelphia crowd.
Wasn't this guy at his press conference when he talked about the Nets? He said it had nothing to do, and he talked about his experience in Philadelphia had nothing to do with the fans.
Yes.
I would present that as an Exhibit A, as evidence that, hey, it had nothing. He admitted it. He talked about it publicly. It had nothing to do with the fans.
That's your objection, Your Honor. That would be a great objection.
Exactly. And that would be the thing it's his own work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like, I caught the tail end of what you were talking about just now. Booing is booing, man. That's who as fans we could be. It's when you go overboard with, you know, I think the language, the things that are being said with the language, with, you know, flipping the bird and all that, like
vulgar gestures
top.
And
yeah, like,
you know, something that's uncivil.
Listen, boo. I don't think anybody has an issue with the idea of booing. It's just that there are a few knuckleheads that then cross over and then everybody gets grouped into it. And that's always been the case, but not just in Philadelphia, man. There's knuckleheads across the country that 1% or less than 1% that bring in the whole narrative and changes the conversation. But listen, the environment's going to be the environment. I just hope that in the end, you express yourself in a certain way that is still going to hold some dignity for yourself more than anything else. I could care less. I have turned that page and moved on.
Right.
From the thing.
And here's the thing.
Express yourself, but I've turned the page.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And, you know, my situation, when I look at through the prism of the fans, because he did quit on them. I mean, he quit on the town. He quit on the franchise. Like, it was funny. I was talking to a friend of mine. I asked, is there going to be any kind of tribute video? Because that was an actual question. And
that's so ridiculous.
It is. I got the ha-ha in return. Like the ha-ha.
It's ridiculous.
You know, it is
like
ridiculous.
The idea that a tribute video was even being discussed.
Yes.
Come on. If you're going to do a tribute video, Steph Curry gave us more moments. Especially in the last year. Like, come on. And
right, like, the fact is, you want it out. Like, you want it out. Like, that's bad.
Yeah, so save all the tribute videos. I mean, the guy made three All-Star teams. We've had many more athletes in Philadelphia leave a more lasting mark on the city and what they've done than what we've seen in the last, you know, 5 years with Ben Simmons. Can we stop with the tribute video conversation?
Yes.
Let's just turn the page and focus on the highlights that are going to be made by this current team.
Yeah. But let me ask you, obviously, are you concerned about the reaction to the, you know, from the country? Because you know how it is, the fan police and the pundits will be out and everybody's just itching for a reason to castigate the Philadelphia fan.
That's an interesting. I'm bracing myself for it. because there are certain things that are going to be out of our control. But one thing that people are going to discuss: oh, the Philadelphia fans, and then here comes the narrative, and there's nothing you could do about it. You just, you know, you say, all right, this is how it is, and we just move on.
Yeah.
My whole thing is, I don't want a Westbrook, somebody dumping anything.
No.
I don't want a situation where, you know, Kyrie Irving had that plastic bottle thrown at him in Boston. I don't want any of that. That, to me, will take me off to...
Because it just opens it all up. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Because then it changes everything. And then suddenly you're sticking up for something that's indefensible. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I don't want.
Because then what you're saying is, oh, it's one idiot out of the whole group and you want to... You now want to punish the entire fan base over the actions of one, you know, one nitwit.
And to your point, you are justifying the national narrative.
Yeah.
Philadelphia talks about how ticked off they are, and I get really mad, and I defend the city all the time when it comes to that conversation and the narrative. but then you're justifying, see, look what they did. And it's no longer look what that person did. It's look what they did. And that to me is such garbage, but that's the reality that you're going to deal with each and every time something like that happens.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel you. All right, we came up with some Ben props, all right? I want to ask you some Ben props. All right, now, will Ben have his hood on or off during the bench, during the game?
He'll have it off.
Okay, yeah, so you, okay, no hood. All right, that's a close one. How about
now,
this?
He's gonna be wearing a hoodie, but he'll have the hood off.
Okay, you say hood off. Because he's a hood man. He'll wear the hood a lot. So, interesting. All right. Will he have buds in? Earbuds. Will he have the earbuds in?
No, I don't think he'll have the earbuds.
Okay, no earbuds. All right, so you got Bear Ben. All right?
Bear Ben, yep.
How about this? Will Ben interact with the crowd?
Not at all. Like, I think he'll look around and have that half smirk. But I do not think he will interact with the crowd.
Okay.
He wants nothing to do with interaction with the crowd in Philadelphia, especially when he cannot, you know, play on the floor and quiet them down with, you know, maybe his defense or dunk. There's no way. If you can't play, you know, I don't understand why he's even out there, but if you can't play, there's no way he will interact.
All right. Will the predominant expression on Ben's face be A, stone face, B, tough guy face, C, smile, you don't bother me?
I think it's going to be, by the way, he has a really good stone face. I think it's going to be stone face mixed in with a little bit of wry, nervous smile.
Okay.
Like, deep down, it looks like he's smirking, but it's a nervous smile.
Will Ben address the media? Will there be some kind of press conference before the game to acquiesce to the Philly media? No?
Nope. Do not think he will address the Philadelphia media.
Will Ben be seen chit-chatting with Sixer personnel before the game?
Oh, that's actually an interesting one, and I have no idea. I have no intel on this, so I'd be kind of curious how that plays out.
Okay.
If there's any interaction. I think post-game there may be like a hug or two with a player, but I don't think there's going to be any type of pre-game interaction. I don't think so.
All right, last one. What is the The moment, how is the moment when Ben and Joel come face to face? Is there eye contact? Do they ignore one another? Does Joel react to Ben?
I think Joel will do a quick, you know, head nod and move on and like not have any type of interaction. And if there is a.
So he does it. He does a. What's up? Nod to Ben?
Yes.
What's up? All right.
That's how it'll be. Like, Joel will still be above board, but also will not be engaged. It'll be like, well, yeah, I see you. Let's just move on. But I can't wait to see the energy. And then, you know, there's another storyline here, too. How do the Nets respond, Kyrie and KD, with James Harden on the other side?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Considering how that there was a falling out there and, you know, Kendrick Perkins told me yesterday on the air that the reason why James Harden did not want to play with the Nets anymore is because of Kyrie Irving and how Kyrie Irving played this whole thing out about not playing on the not playing at home and not getting vaccinated. And I'm curious about that. And Kyrie said some stuff last night addressing it. I'm curious about that type of interaction and what kind of energy we get from all three of those players as well.
Right. Right. No, I agree. It's going to be fascinating, man. It's going to be a blast. Kev, I might have to get you back on for Friday just to talk about it.
Yeah, please do.
All right.
There's going to be a lot of energy spent on Thursday night. Let's hope let's hope we're talking something positive on Friday.
I love it. And thank you for representing us so well that you do. We love you, buddy.
Appreciate you, brother. Be safe.
All right, here he is, Kevin Negandhi on the Comcast Business Hotline.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're doing a little football action.
Just, dude, I can't believe it's 12:40 already.
I'm stunned. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm looking at you calling inside line. I forgot that we're so tired. Just to be fair, everybody, sit tight. We're going to get everybody's call back in a second. But we did promise a little Eagles talk today because it's a momentous week in football. Free agency. We had the combine. And we got, big-time quarterback movement, right? Rodgers stays put, and Russ goes to Denver. What happens? There's one more big quarterback out there with Deshaun Watson. We might know more on Friday. Let's go to our man who covers the birds so spectacularly for the Inquirer and theinquirer.com, Jeff McClain. Jeff!
Anthony, what's up?
Yo, dude, first of all, before we get into birds, the little Wentz nugget you dropped today?
All right, pretty far down in the 2,500-word story, but, yeah, I guess people will be interested in...
Dude, it's your story, so please take the honors and tell the audience who may not have seen it and should read it.
Well, I mean, it's stuff that I've heard... prior and just kind of found out more detail and honestly I think it pertains to the Eagles just because you see the juxtaposition between Carson and how he conducted himself while he's with the Eagles and the way Jalen does and take what you can do on the field away from what you can do off of it in terms of being the type of leader and guy you kind of want in that sort of building. Increasingly, just kind of stuff that's been revealed to me about Carson has just made it more increasingly clear, why it wasn't probably going to work here. And from what I'm hearing in Indianapolis, the expectations there are pretty low, although they may have to bring him back. But, prior to the Super Bowl, I think Carson was kind of in himself and obviously, distraught over the fact that he couldn't be a part of it. And at one point, in that period leading up to it, I think he kind of voiced to the group of other injured players that he was kind of stuck with as they were rehabbing and not being able to participate in any of those games, just kind of his displeasure about, the success of the team, kind of a lament, maybe he just kind of said it in the moment and regretted it right away. But one of the other players, as you would expect, took exception to it and confronted Carson and, eventually, obviously, they had to be separated, but, that was kind of, increasingly find out, and we've heard about this, and I've reported about it last year, that Carson had kind of lost certain corners of the locker room, and that, I think, to some extent...
Dude, that's a mortal sin! Like, that is a mortal sin! You can't do that! Like, first of all, there's so many things wrong with that. Listen, human nature is human nature, right?
Yeah.
And you may think
that's part of it.
You may think certain things, but when you preach it out of the Bible, too, that's one of the seven deadly sins.
Well, I did a story on Carson when he came back the following year and the rehab he went through. And I remember looking at him in the locker room after that game. And he knelt down next to his locker stall and was praying for a while. And then a year, several months later, I said, hey, what were you doing in that moment? What were you thinking of yourself in that moment? And he told me that I was praying to God and asking him to, not make me jealous and not make me, you know, feel any ill will towards Nick Foles and the rest of the team. And I think, you know, it's only human probably to feel that way. I think the fact that he said it was what the problem was, clearly. But, you know, look, people, all of us aren't perfect. And I'm sure, you know, in the moment it was something that he almost immediately regretted, but that's what happened. And that was,
wow. That's amazing story,
if you,
man.
If you talk to everyone within the Eagles organization, and even more so now, I mean, that ACL, when he tore that ACL, that just basically,
that was the end. Yeah.
That was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. No, that's true. Listen, that story is an amazing story. It really is. That pushed him over the top of him so many different ways. You know what's fascinating is that Wentz and Simmons are tied at the hip. You know, they come in together as the two saviors of the franchise, the saviors of 4-for-4 Philadelphia, and they're both false messiahs.
I think with Carson, though, it's a little different. Like Carson did a lot to try and be, you know, to excel at his position. I think it wasn't like he wasn't, you know, like with Ben. I don't know, obviously, everything about Ben. I don't report on the Sixers. But with Ben, it was like he just wasn't taking kind of the necessary steps to be a better free throw shooter, a better three-point shooter, et cetera. Carson pretty much did everything. I think his was more mental, and maybe that's the component with Ben as well. But, you know, he just would not change that aggressive style play. And that, you know, you saw this past year, he had some egregious mistakes. And one of which was, I mean, he had several moments where he just like pressure, throw the ball or charge, throw a shovel pass and have a turnover or just get bailed out by some miraculous play. And one of the Colts coaches had told me they had counted out the number of left-handed passes that he had thrown last year. 15. Who does that? I mean, like, and you know, and Frank Reich had even said this to me right after he left the Eagles and got the job at the Colts, and I was writing a story about this. I'm like, can you change this Superman, you know, the hero ball out of Carson? And he was explaining how when Carson first got there, you know, it was basically in one ear and out the other, and he kind of was like, you know, it gotten a little better, et cetera, but from what I understand, it just didn't change in Indianapolis, and that was a lot of what we've seen over the last few months with Chris Ballard and Frank Reich calling him out in public. I mean, this is basically a last straw thing. Like, you have to change the way you play and approach this game. But I think with Carson, a lot of it's just the mental component.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's go real quick because yesterday was an amazing day, right? So Wilson gets dealt in a big way. Rodgers, of course, earlier this week, he re-ups in Green Bay. The NFC's losing quarterbacks. What? There's one big name left, and we'll know a little bit of intel on Friday. Where do you hear on the Eagles and Deshaun Watson? I'll give you what I heard, too, but you cover this team.
Yeah, so, I mean, I first heard back all the way in March that it was something that Howie would be willing to do. Obviously, this is right after all the 22 allegations of sexual misconduct were made by massage therapists against Deshaun Watson. That obviously put it on hold, just like the rest of the NFL. Eagles continued to do their due diligence. They had checked with Watson's people. They checked with the authorities down there. They did all the background work in case something, you know, in case these charges were settled, the civil cases were settled, whether there were no criminal charges that were filed against Deshaun Watson, as you would expect. And that has not changed. I mean, that's been the case. And they are among several teams that I believe that are kind of poised to make an offer, provided that everything goes the way that Deshaun Watson hopes would pan out for him, but we don't know. As you stated, there's a grand jury trial on Friday. If the prosecutor decides to indict Deshaun Watson, and there's, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but you hear this, if there's a grand jury, and the prosecutor doesn't even have to base their indictment what the grand jury says, they could just prosecute him indict him for any charges. So that could just end up being the case. Then all of a sudden, you know, the team could, the league could continue its investigation of Deshaun Watson, and then we're dragging this thing out even longer. He could be placed on the exempt list, and then all of a sudden you can't trade for him. So there's a lot of stuff that has to happen for this to even happen. And then I think ultimately, you know, Jeffrey Lurie obviously allowed them to go this far. I would assume they would allow them to go even further if their intel tells them that Deshaun Watson, you know, this is something that they think is viable for them to do. You know, as for the quarterback situation with, you know, Rodgers, obviously he's always going to stay in Green Bay, and if he wasn't, it's going to be Denver. Russell Wilson, you know, it's pretty much understood that he wasn't going to come to Philadelphia, and that they weren't going to trade him out of the they wanted to trade him out of the conference. From what I understand, the Eagles made like almost a cursory kind of check in, but they never got. I know there's been a report about offer; it never ever got to any formal offer. This was never going to happen. And I don't know if they would have met the price as well, although they certainly had the ammo to meet what Denver ultimately ended up giving for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they did. And you know, it would have been interesting. Free agents, any targets that you're honing in on for free agency that you think, you know, that they might go after?
There are a lot of guys out there. I think we've seen now kind of, some of the top guys getting franchise tagged or signing deals. So, you know, as Howie had said last week, or said even before to us, that, you know, free agency isn't what it used to be. Teams have done a much better job of retaining their own guys. And what that does is you have good second-tier players that end up becoming top-of-the-market signees, and they can get ridiculous dollars. And you're looking at a bunch of teams around this league that have cap space to fill and have bad teams. So they're going to make aggressive efforts at some of these guys. So I don't expect the Eagles to be getting any big names. You know, I did write in my recent story about where, you know, I know people have talked about wide receiver. There's a number of free agent wide receivers out there. Not as many now that Chris Godwin's been franchise tagged. Same with Devontae Adams, and Mike Williams has signed an extension. I think that was all expected to happen, but there are some mid-tier guys there, and I'm looking more at the slot position because I think they see by Quez Watkins as a viable outside option.
I do too. If he actually had a credible quarterback that could throw the ball, I think Quez would be much better.
Right, and so get someone more natural in there, maybe a bigger size guy, Christian Kirk, Dak Pascal, Juju Smith-Schuster.
I agree.
Russell Gage. Is a restricted free agent, but, you know, it depends. We'll see what Atlanta does with him. But those are the types of guys that I would see them, you know, possibly getting. And then there's the draft. I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers in this draft, so I expect them to add there. But, you know, look, they need to improve the pass rush. The defensive line is going to be the number one area of concern, obviously, aside from quarterback for them, if you know, ends up being they can't do anything with Watson and Hurts is coming back. And I don't want to – I mean, look, I think most likely – and you and I have said this a long time, Jalen Hurts is going to be the quarterback in the fall because of so many variables that would have had to play out for the Eagles to even get someone better. But look, this is a business. This isn't, I texted someone from the Eagles about this today. This isn't tiddlywinks. I mean, it's Howie's job to upgrade, to improve this team, right? And that's by far the most important position. So you're going to be looking to improve it any which way you can. I'm not saying that him giving up the mortgaging the future for one or another guy is the right move to make, but you know, if he's just doing his job, and certainly they made some, you know, attempt at Wilson, although they knew pretty much that there was no chance to get him, and the Watson one, while I know that's a much more thornier issue aside from what he can do on the field, I still don't rule that out.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think, listen, if they're stuck with him another year, they're stuck with him another year, and he'll approach next year to get his quarterback. But I know that they want to upgrade that position.
Yeah.
You know, listen, so, I mean.
If you can get Deshaun Watson,
yeah.
And again, we're just talking specifically what he can do on the field, you do it.
Right. I'm with you. Brother, listen, good stuff, as always, all right? And next week, it's going to get busy again. So, you know, I know you're up to the task, always dropping.
But, no time to sleep. I mean, usually you'd have some time between the Super Bowl for the combine, time between the combine and the free agency, and this is going. And I get a sense that the Eagles will certainly there'll be moves and moves beyond just signing free agents. There'll be moves with their own guys.
I like it. Thanks, brother. We'll be following you. Appreciate it, buddy. There he is, Jack McClain, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Interesting stuff going on, obviously, with the birds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.